Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
If you got a Bible or maybe an app on your phone, man, I got to work. Can I preach the message today like I feel it? Can I do that? Man, I feel it so strong up in my bones. And Matthew 16 is the first passage we're going to be in, and then Matthew 28 is the second. And so if you could hold two places because you're a Bible pro, then Matthew 16 and Matthew 28. If you're like, Pastor, that's your job, then the Bible will be on the screen here in a second. You'll see it in the room, but also online. Hey, thank you so much to the team back there in the booth, man. Everybody like sees the worship team, and our worship team is awesome, but also we got the unsung heroes in the back. I like to call y'all out every once in a while because nobody looks at y'all unless something bad happens. But it's been great, both services today. And so grateful for y'all. All right, Matthew 16 and also Matthew 28. Now, these two passages are, in my opinion, and I think I've got good ground to stand on, they are the two most important church passages in the entire Bible. Like they are epic. If you want to be a part of any church, not just Christ's Covenant, you need to know these passages and you need to study them and you need to get this, like, not just head knowledge, but like heart knowledge. And so we're gonna learn a lot. For some of us, it's going to be relearning. But Matthew 16, verse 13 is the first one. I'm going to read out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. But even if you got King James, you should be able to follow along. All right, here's what it says. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, his followers, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He's talking about himself. And they said, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or just one of those prophets. Well, Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? By the way, you will have to answer that question for yourself. Who do you say Jesus is? Simon Peter, that's one of the disciples, he replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Every time I read that, I can't help but laugh because, like, I just need you to get the context here. Jesus is saying, Peter, what's up, sport? What's up, bud? Like, that was the right answer, but let's be honest, you weren't smart enough to figure that out on your own. God revealed that to you. I just think that's funny. Jesus is like, you're awesome, right answer, but you didn't get there by yourself. And I tell you, Jesus to Peter, you are Peter. And on this rock, ooh, I love this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, turn a few chapters forward to Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. Jesus has just formed the New Testament church in Matthew 16. It did not exist in that way until Matthew 16. And now Matthew 28, he's going to commission the church. He's going to give you and I, the church, his people, marching orders. This is our calling. This is our purpose. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, I'm gonna keep reading, but I gotta, this is the pre-preaching, okay? Preaching before the message has even started yet. But this is so, so important. Too many Christians skip over that part. What's it say? The 11 disciples. Well, isn't it 12? No. Judas has already betrayed, it is down to 11. So you got the 11 disciples, and it says they worship Jesus. The resurrected Jesus, by the way. They worshiped Jesus, but some doubted. And that is so important for me to preach on for just a moment because we have treated doubt incorrectly in the church. What happens is we downcast it, and if you ever would doubt, we kind of excommunicate you. We're like, no, just fake it till you make it. That's not how Jesus rolled. Jesus has these 11 men, these disciples, and they all worshiped him, but some doubted. So some means more than one. Can we agree? Thomas was probably a part of that group. I get it. But he didn't say, but Thomas, oh, poor Thomas. He says, but some doubted. And yet, even though some of the disciples who saw Jesus resurrected now, even though some of them doubted what we're about to read, Jesus still commissions even the doubters. And I will preach right there, because even if you have doubts, if you'll just bring your doubts to Jesus and worship him anyways, he still has a plan and a purpose for you. If you're a doubter today and you've got moments of unbelief, you keep running after Jesus, he's big enough to handle even your biggest doubt. You're in good company. You keep worshiping. You bring your doubts and your questions and your insecurities to the Lord, and he is faithful to help you and to continue to speak to you. And Jesus came and said to all of them, not just the worshipers, but also the doubters, he said to all of them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, this is the great commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all, not just what makes you feel good, all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's pray again. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word does not return void. Thank you that your word has power, and we've joined together today to worship your holy name, Jesus, to get our eyes off ourselves and lift them up to you, and also to learn or relearn from your word. So I pray, God, for every ear to be unplugged and unstopped and to hear exactly what we need to hear from your word, to not add anything to it and also not take anything away from it. But God, we would hear it and read it and apply it to our lives. We love you, and with faith, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that with every kid we've added to our family, we've got three, most of you know that, but with every kid, the amount of stuff we have as a family has exponentially increased. Can anybody relate to that? It's like you add one kid, but for whatever reason, your stuff multiplies, right? And you need more garage sales, and you've got less and less space in your attic. I joke with people all the time, a lot of you can't even park in your garage anymore, right? Because you got so much stuff, and a lot of that's from your niños, you know, your children. And I've noticed that in our lives, and so oftentimes we'll be driving home, and we've got my wife and I and our three kids, and they're young. We'll drive home, we'll pull into our garage, because we can still, thank the Lord, it's getting close, but we can still get in there barely. And we pull in, and we got all this stuff. We got books and bags and toys and snacks and drinks and stroller. We even got a double stroller. You know, he's got all this kind of stuff. And because I'm a faithful man, I only want to make one trip from the car, you know? Anybody like that? You're just like, man, it's one trip only. Anybody? Okay, no, okay, a few of us, all right. Like, ain't nobody got time for more than one trip, you know? I want to use my time properly. And so what do? I will stack all the stuff up. I got some Jenga skills, you know, just stacking Tetris back in the day. Anybody Tetris? Like, just, I mean, all kinds of stuff. But not only that, when we have groceries and we go grocery shopping, it is one trip only for your pastor. Anybody with me on that? It is like I got them on my fingers, and I got 25 bags, one trip, no lie. I even hunch over and I'll put the toilet paper stack on my back, you know, like that's just how I am. In fact, I told a lot of people after first service, like, I'm with you, pastor. Like, I it's one trip. And so what's happened recently, kids are still young, but they're getting a little bit older. That seems to be what happens every year. And so as they get a little older, they want to help dad. And I'll say help with air quotes. Because when you got young kids especially, but maybe just any age, love the heart that they want to help, but they really don't help that much, right? Like, it's cute. I really am so grateful. But oftentimes, as they're trying to help dad, they're not actually helping. They oftentimes get in the way. And not only that, but it ends up taking me more trips and longer to help clean up the mess, right, as they drop things and break things and all that kind of stuff. But as a dad, even though it's not that great of help, I honestly do still enjoy that they want to help. And not only that, but I just love, in general, partnering with my kids. I love bringing them on the journey with me. I love having them be a part of serving at this church. Like, it's a family affair. And as a dad, my imperfections and all, and I probably tell y'all way too many about all my failures and all my shortcomings, but even in that, I've got the mindset that I enjoy partnering with my kids. You see where I'm going here, church? God, in a far greater way, because he is perfect, God loves to partner with his kids. And honestly, you just got to get this in your heart and mind. Oftentimes, we mess it up. Oftentimes, we make it messier. God has the power to save people by himself. You need to understand that. He doesn't need us, but he wants to work in us and through us. Why? Because he loves his kids. It is a joy for a good father to partner with his children who he loves. And as we look at Matthew 16 and Matthew 28, the forming of the New Testament church and also the commissioning of it, this becomes crystal clear. Would you write this down if you take notes in church? Number one is this: the church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. Like, that is so vital. You got to get this. The church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. I need you to get this deep down into your soul, because we live in a culture where everyone wants a mission. Everybody is looking for purpose and a calling and a tribe to be a part of and a cause to give their life for. Like, that's a good thing in and of itself, but here's what I just want to throw out there. If you're looking for a calling, if you're looking for a mission, why not join God's mission? Like, save the rainforest, that's cool. That's awesome. Like plant some trees, save the whales, you know, start a cat ministry, you know, which, by the way, we will never have that here, but you can do that on your own, you know. But, like, do whatever you want, your pet project. But why not consider just joining God's mission? It's a pretty awesome mission. It's an incredible mission. And because he has this mission, that's why the church was formed. It's not like, oh, we got to figure out what we're going to do on Sundays and throughout the week. There was already a mission, and that's why God formed the church. There's a purpose already here. Like, I am amazed growing up in church, being in church. I tell people, I've fallen asleep in more services than you've ever been to your life. I've been in so many church, Pentecostal church services that last like 14 hours, you know, like just keep going and going. And there's like 18 pastors that speak 18 different messages. And even the person announcing like the event coming up next Saturday, they got to preach a message, you know. It's like I've been in it. I get it. But, like, here's what you need to know. Like, I've been around so many church people for so long, and too often I meet church people who say this: well, Pastor, I'm still trying to figure out my calling. I'm still trying to figure out my purpose. Really don't know what God wants me to do. And I just wonder, I never say this because I'm scared to, but, like, I get a lot more bold up here, you know, with a microphone. But, like, I think this, like, I wonder, have they even met Jesus? Like, sorry, but if you don't know what your mission is, like, if you don't know what God's called you to do, I think it's pretty clear, right? Like, I mean, cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament, it is very clear what God has called us to do. So again, why not consider, if you're looking for a mission, join God's mission. We are to serve people, to share the gospel, to grow in discipleship, to bring more people into the kingdom of God. There's already a mission, and God formed the church so that we could fulfill that mission together. And so I want to challenge you, Christ Covenant. Can't speak for other churches, but I will speak for this one as a senior pastor. This will always be a church where it is a joy and an honor and a privilege to partner with God. It's a joy, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be a part of the co-mission. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. And he's looking for a people, his church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, that he can partner with to make a difference for him. Not so we can say, look at us, Christ Covenant Church, but so we can make much of the powerful, matchless name of Jesus. Can I get an amen on a Sunday morning? This is the mission the church was formed for. And so we're going to be a culture. You just need to know. Well, what's Christ Covenant? We're going to be a culture that we are passionate about Jesus. We are passionate about the church because we believe and we read in scripture over and over again that the church was formed to fulfill the mission of God, to reach people far from him, to build disciples, to make famous the name of Jesus, to see many signs and wonders take place on earth as it is in heaven. This is who we are. And this is a good reminder, especially for those like myself that have been in church for a minute or two, because so easily, especially in America, let's pick on America for a second, so easily we can shift into the wrong mindset where we think church and God and all of that is just for me, myself, and I. And we get so inward focused and, well, what can you do for me and how can you help me? And so often we start spectating, we stop contributing, and then we only consume. And I just need to let you know something, okay? And you're seeing it in your life if this is you. But when you only spectate, when you only consume, it will quickly lead to you just judging everyone else. Like that's the progression. When you're just me, just taking in, never giving out, never partnering with God, that's when you become a critic. And I can relate to this, especially with sports. Now, like three people in our church like sports, but I'm still going to use a sports analogy, okay? Because I like it. But I do this with sports. I'm watching playoff basketball, and maybe in 10 years the Rockets will be there. We need help. Y'all pray for the Rockets, okay? We need help. But like I'm watching the basketball playoffs, and I'm into the game. But, of course, I'm laying on my couch, you know? I'm not in the game, but I'm watching. I'm into the game, but I'm not in the game. And I'm watching these superstar athletes. Yes, they make way too much money. I get it. I'm right there with you. We should give that money, like, not to the politicians. We should give that to the doctors and the nurses and the teachers. I'm with you on that 100%. But we're watching these superstar athletes, and they're sweating. They're working. They're sacrificing. I mean, they know what they're doing. And then you got a guy like me who couldn't even make his seventh grade basketball team, who's laying on the couch with a microfiber blanket tucked underneath his chin. Don't judge my journey, okay? And what am I doing? I'm like, you should have done that play better. You should have dunked that. And I can't even touch net on, you know, maybe if it's down to like 4 feet, you know, like just like dunking downwards. But like, and what am I doing? I am criticizing them because I don't have any skin in the game. I ain't sacrificed. The most I sacrificed was buying YouTube TV, you know, so I could watch the games. But they're the ones in the game. But it is so easy from the outside looking in. You see where I'm going? To spectate and eventually say, you know what? I'm going to be a critic and I'm going to judge when I'm not even sacrificing anything at all. And that is not what God has called us to do. Anybody can be an armchair critic. That's a hero behind the keyboard. Well, that church should have done this and that person should have done that. When we just sit back and do nothing, that is not what God has called us to. We are not just to consume. We are called to contribute. There's a mission, and God formed the church to fulfill that mission. And we don't need any more judgers and spectators. We got to get some skin in the game. And I'm preaching the choir because y'all are so awesome. I just bragged on y'all. I get it. But we need this reminder. I need this reminder. This is a big deal for us. But when you got skin in the game, man, things are different. And you got a different expectation. And that's what God has for us. All right, here's another truth about the church that Jesus is raising up. This is my fourth close. I only got four more closes. All right, number two is this. The church doesn't seek shelter. It storms the gates of hell. I like that one. The church doesn't seek shelter. It storms the gates of hell. Talked a little bit about this last week as we went through the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer. But this is so important for us to get in our heart and soul. No matter what background you're from, a different denomination, maybe more conservative when it comes to scripture, or maybe even just no denomination, no church background, which, by the way, I'm so glad you're here. I love that we're non-denominational. Like, don't get me wrong. I love that. But here's what you need to know. You and I, whether you participate or not, we are in a spiritual battle. Read the Bible cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament. There are countless stories of so much that happens that we can't see or notice with the natural eye. There's things that are happening behind the scenes, And you need to know that's not bad news, that's actually really good news. Why? Because if you're a believer and follower of Jesus, you're on the winning team. And so our purpose, our mission, our calling as a church, the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, our purpose, our mission, our calling is not to seek shelter and cower in fear from the enemy. I'm telling you, church, every day you wake up, the devil should about have a heart attack because you're a man or woman of God that's following the mission of God, that you're sold out and you're contributing. The devil should be scared of us. Oh, did he say that? Yeah, I got nothing to be afraid of. Jesus is greater than anyone or anything. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Don't talk like that, Pastor. Why wouldn't I? It's not because I got something special. Remember, God doesn't need me. I play a role, but it's a small role. But I know my God is great. I know my God is bigger. He should be scared of us. We are on the winning team. What does Jesus say in Matthew 16, the first passage? He says, I will build my church. You're not building this church. I'm not building this church. We play a part. We partner co-mission. But Jesus says, I will build my church in the gates of hell. Now, that's so important. Because gates, those are meant for defense, right? Right? Like, I never, like, saw somebody, like, in a war, like, oh, man, they got some really good gates. They're taking a lot of good ground. No. Gates, you're on defense. You're not attacking. What does that mean, Pastor? We are called to go on the offense. The devil should be scared of us. We go on the attack because of Jesus working in us and through us. We don't just try to stand our ground. We are actually called to take some ground for the kingdom of God. I hope you're getting fired up a little bit. Like, this is what God has called us to. We go on the offense. We're not, oh, I don't know. Like, no. We're in a battle, but we're on the winning team. Jesus is great. This ain't Star Wars, yo. This ain't good and evil, and you don't know who's going to overcome it depending on what movie you're watching, right? Like, Jesus has already won the victory. We're just partnering with him. You can have your chest out and your head held high, not because of you or me or this church, but because of Jesus, who, again, is working in you. And this is the church where we don't seek shelter. We storm the gates of hell. And I'll end on this. I'm skipping through a lot, but God will make sure you get the right things in this service. Last thing, and then I'll pray. What I love about the Great Commission, so getting back to Matthew 28, the second passage. What I love about it, Jesus, he's getting ready to ascend up to heaven, the right hand of the Father. He's given final marching orders. And remember, they all worshiped. Some doubted, But in that moment, Jesus commissions them. Therefore, go. Which, if you study that, the assumption is that you're already going. You're already moving. Like, there should be movement. Jesus is the head of the church. We are his body. Body of Christ. There should be movement there. Therefore, go and make disciples. And then he talks about baptizing and teaching. And like, it's an epic mission, right? It's a scary world out there. It's not easy. And here's why I point all that out, because I love this about Jesus. After he gives this great commission, the co-mission for you and I, what does he say? We read it at the very end, and I will be with you. Isn't that so good? Well, what's that mean, Pastor? Jesus is like, and Pastor Tony, help me close out this service. I'll make sure I close on time. Like, help me up. But what does that mean? It means this, that Jesus is like, hey, I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to take great sacrifice. Like, I know you're going to have moments of doubt. You're going to have moments where you want to throw in the towel. But Jesus is like, take heart. I'm going to be with you. You could say it this way. I'm going to be with you to infinity and beyond. Jesus says, hey, it's epic. It's hard. It's going to take sacrifice. There's going to be pain involved. Welcome to church. Like, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to lay down some stuff that you want for what God wants. You're going to have to take up your cross. And there's going to be ways that they seem right to you, but I'm going to whisper to you, that ain't the right way. You need to go this way, and you're going to have to choose, do you obey or not obey? And what do you do? But at the end of the day, Jesus says, if you follow me, you take partnership with me, I will be with you. That should give you strength. That even when when it's hard to raise your kids to follow Jesus, that even when it seems like I just want to give up on this marriage, I got this physical problem, this emotional problem, this relationship, whatever it is, anytime you're getting ready to wave the white flag or throw in the towel, just remember the words of Jesus as you follow him, that he is with you. You are not by yourself, that he will help you, he will support you, and he will give you the strength that you need. Amen. We don't seek shelter, we storm the gates of hell. Bow your heads with me, close your eyes. Jesus, I pray right now. I pray, God, that you would strengthen and encourage your people. I pray for those that just honestly, maybe they're like, I don't know what my calling, I don't know my purpose, I don't really have a mission to revolve my marriage or my family or my life around. I pray, God, today they would say yes to your mission, the mission of God, to reach the lost, to serve people, to love people, to make disciples, to be moving, therefore go. It's understood there will be movement, not just on a Sunday morning, but Monday through Saturday, they would scatter to make much of you, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission has a church. You form the church and you commission the church for a purpose to fulfill the mission that you already had to reach hurting people. You are the way, the truth, and the life. God, I pray for those that maybe because of their background or their experience or lack thereof, maybe they live a lot of their lives in worry and fear and anxiety. I pray, God, that you would give them a set security if they're believers and followers of you, that you are greater than anything they will ever face. And that we're not just trying to stand our ground, we're actually called to take ground for you, to go on the offense. There's nothing that we should be afraid of, Lord, even the devil himself, because you are great. The battle's already, but we are on the winning team. So may we walk, not with a cockiness, not with an arrogance, but a confidence, a holy confidence that you are greater, God, that you are working in us and through us. I pray, God, you'd help so many, and there's already a lot. I'm preaching to the choir, but I pray, God, those that haven't partnered with you yet, I pray they would. Not just consume me, myself, and I, but to partner with you. Gifts and talents, everything, God, we would lay it all down for your mission. And I pray, lastly, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice in this room or online that's far from you, I pray today would be their day of salvation. I can't save anybody. This church can't save anybody, but you absolutely can, Jesus. Today, friend, if you're far from God, you can come close to him right now. He's already done the work on the cross. He's already risen from the dead. You have an opportunity to receive that work personally. You can whisper this to him. Not a big scene, just you and the Lord, just underneath the sound of your voice, just underneath your breath. Lord, I believe. Jesus, you are God. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Whisper that to him. So important that you ask him. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to save me, to rescue me. Right now, I believe in faith. I'm going from death to life. Thank you, God, for those that are whispering that to you, that are confessing sin and that are putting their belief and their trust in you. You are the way maker. The greatest miracle you do is salvation. Make no mistake about it, friend. The greatest miracle God does is for us to go from death to life as we put our faith and trust in him. Thank you, Jesus, for eternities that are being changed right now. As many, I believe, are surrendering their life to you. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.